Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we're going to look at verse 1 down through verse number 5 this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray together. Father, as we consider these words here, it's a bit overwhelming. We think of where we stand and the grace that you've given to us and the peace that we now have. And Father, we just ask your blessing upon this time as we study your word, as we preach your word and think upon your word. Help us to take it and apply it in our own lives for your honor and your glory. Help us to be conformed to the image of your Son through your word this morning. Come now, Holy Spirit, and help. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, what an incredibly rich text. As I began to work through this text this week, I thought, I need 13 months to go through the words that are just here. If we were to just consider the key words that we see in the text, notice in verse number 1, you get justified and faith and peace and Lord. That's a lot. But then in verse 2, you get access and faith and grace and hope and glory and rejoice. And then in verse 3, glory and tribulation and patience. And then patience, experience, hope in verse 4. And then hope and love and the Holy Ghost in verse number 5. That's a lot. That's a lot to be said. In fact, usually in preaching and preparing sermons, or if you're teaching a lesson, you could find one key word with all of these sort of filler words around it for about 5 or 6 verses, and you can kind of preach toward the theme of that one word, and you're all right. But this one is full. These verses really say something. So take it in this morning and use it in your life. On this second Sunday in Advent, our focus is on peace. Here in Romans chapter 5, we see peace that we now have because Jesus came, because of Christmas. In fact, this peace was God's gift to the world. Notice the text with me. The beginning of verse 1, peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the fall of man, we are all enemies of God. Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection cured this. Still, the unsaved have no peace with God. Without salvation, man cannot obey God's law or fulfill God's will. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 5:10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. There are two major terms that we should consider here as we begin thinking on peace with God. First is here in the text, it's justification. The other that runs parallel with that in an opposite direction is condemnation. When you think condemnation, think condemned. God declares us sinners. That is the epitome of condemned, is it not? Surely you've seen in your neighborhood or somewhere in this world a house that has been called condemned. But in all reality, it's only being called condemned. Should someone come in and fix it up, everything would be all right with that house, and that status of being condemned could be taken away, right? But when God declares something condemned, there is no fixing it up. But isn't that our human nature? It's been condemned, but if I could just do enough good, if I could just go to church enough, if I could just read enough scripture, if I could just say the right prayer, if I could just do this or that religious sacrament or ritual, everything would be okay, and I could fix up this spiritual house that has been condemned. There is no fixing it up. It has been condemned by God. That is condemnation. God declares us sinners. That's where we stand before Jesus. This is the declaration. It's a declaration of war. God versus man. And you know who always wins in that war. But then there is the other term. That term is justification. When you think justification, it is God declares us righteous. So in condemnation, it's God declaring us sinners. But in justification, it is God who also declared us sinners, now declaring us righteous. This is not a declaration of war. This is a declaration of peace. No one condemned by the law can have peace with God. But when justified by faith, we now have peace with God. We shouldn't. We're like that house in the neighborhood who's been condemned that nobody should be living in, but now all of a sudden the lights are on. You remember when the lights were turned on in your spiritual home? You were condemned. You were made sin, but now you've been made righteousness through Jesus' death. Justified by faith is to be declared righteous. Thus war cannot be declared, only peace. Paul instructs us here in the remainder of verse 1 and in verse number 2 that this peace is through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now the text begins in verse number 1 with a therefore. And what do we do when we encounter a therefore in Bible study? What is it there for? You see that in the scriptures. You need to figure out why it's there. Well, we back up. Find context. The immediate context to chapter 5, verse 1 is what? If you're backing up. Chapter 4, verse 25. Look at your Bibles if you don't know what I'm talking about here. So let's look at chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Well, we have another little word we need to work on there. It's the word who. Who is what kind of a word? Some of you are in school right now. You know that who is starts with a P, pronoun. Did the heart put you all to sleep? Come on. It's a pronoun. And a pronoun refers back to somebody. Well, let's back up another verse. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. This Jesus. Jesus was delivered for our offenses. Jesus was raised again for our justification. So as we begin to study the idea of the therefore and what it's there for, we see that Jesus was sacrificed for our sins. He was raised again so that we might be justified. What does justified mean? Declared righteous by God. Some of you are going to give my definition, just as if I had never sinned. Absolutely. Therefore, since this has happened, we are now justified by faith. Do we need to break down what now means? It's kind of like all. What does all mean? All. What does now mean? Now. So many people go through their life hoping. Now we have a justified hope, but that's not the hope. I'm talking about this wish. Wishing that someplace in eternity, their good outweighs their bad and everything's all right. No, now. 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 I'm justified now. Justified. Since this has happened, I am justified by faith. Justified, simply put, means we have been made just as if we had never sinned. It means declared or made righteous in the sight of God. This occurs through Christ's righteousness being imputed to us. How many of you ever had something imputed to you? Ever? How many of you growing up you had a mom or a dad or a legal guardian who you had to lean on to for money? Everybody had that at some point, right? Dad, can I get 20 bucks? In fact, I'm a little younger than that. By my day and age, it wasn't even, Dad, can I get 20 bucks? It was, Dad, can I get your debit card? That's what it was by the time I was a teenager. You had your vehicle and you had to put gas in it and you didn't go to Dad and say, can I get 20 bucks? You say, Mom or Dad, can I get your debit card? That was not my money. I had done nothing to earn that money. I had definitely not worked for that money. Now, I did work as a teenager, and I had my own money, but I usually spent up my own money on my girlfriend. Some of you know her. She's well worth it. So when it came down to, you know, the non-important things in my life, like gas for my car, so I could go spend the money on my girlfriend or mow the grass to make the money, I would always go to Dad and say, hey, Dad, I need some gas. Can I get your debit card? So Dad's hard work was imputed into my life. Mom and Dad's money, Mom and Dad's debit card was imputed into my gas tank in my truck so that I could go places. I did nothing for that, but it was given to me freely. Jesus Christ's righteousness was imputed to us so that we could be made God's righteousness in Him. He became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Who among us? Who among us has lived a righteous life? Who among us has lived a sinless life? Who among us could take the case before Almighty God that mankind should not be declared war against? None of us. We are all unrighteous. We are all sinners. But God sent His Son, and He took our payment. He lived a righteous life, and He paid the price for our sins. This is the meaning of justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the words of the old hymn. We sing it sometimes. Born of a spirit from life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace He did proffer. He saved me. Oh, praise His dear name. You know the song? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Nobody did the repeat there. I thought somebody might do the fill my soul. That's right. By faith. By faith. We are justified by faith. By faith we place our eternal trust in Christ. The Bible tells us that we can be sure then that our faith has been credited to us as righteousness. That's deep and shallow both at the same time. It's just right there where we can get it. But when we grasp what we've gotten, it's deep. It takes us deeper than you probably want to go this morning. By faith, we have been credited God's righteousness. By faith in Jesus Christ. You ever had your account credited? It's a good feeling. This time of year, especially, you get something you didn't really want and you return it. Do you guys do that? Return gifts you don't want. Come on, somebody, I'm on the hook here. Am I the only one who does this? And so you take it back to the store. And there's always, I don't know if you're like me, but you're standing there at the counter and you have this item that you want to give back to them and that you want them to give money back to you. And they really don't have to. They sold it. It's already been sold. It's done. And they could say no. Do you guys sit there and rehearse your reason? Why are you returning this today? Well, if I say it doesn't fit, well, that'd be a lie. And if I say I don't like it, well, that might not be a good enough reason to return this thing. You know, and you go through all of these reasons in your brain. You don't want to tell a lie, but you really want to convince them that they need to give you money and you give back this thing that you don't want. Thing of it is, you don't want it and they don't want it either. In fact, the person who gave it to you didn't want it either, and that's why it got wrapped up and put your name on it and you got it instead of them. Merry Christmas. But when that transaction is made, something is credited to your account that wasn't what you had to begin with, but was what you wanted all along. Amen. Justified by faith. Praise the Lord. By faith, we place our eternal trust in Christ, who Paul writes of here as our Lord Jesus Christ. His use of a full title in this text is very exciting. You notice all through the Bible that it's sometimes He's Jesus, sometimes He's Jesus Christ, sometimes He's Jesus Christ the Lord, sometimes He's just Christ. Depending on how He needs to be referred to in the text, a certain title of Jesus is used. Sometimes He's the Son of God. Well, here Paul uses it all. Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord. He is ours. That's exciting. And then Lord. This is not just another prophet. This is not just a good man. This is Emmanuel. This is the Lord. This is God with us. This is the promised Messiah. And then Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the one promised to come. And from all of that, in verse number 2, we find access to grace. The immediate effect of our justification was peace with God. We're saved, we have peace with God. There's no longer war, there is peace. But then there's this continuing effect of our justification. The continuing effect of our justification is that we've been allowed to enter the sphere of God's grace. I appreciate an immediate effect of something. You have a backache, you're going to take a pill, and soon, as quick as it can, the pain goes away. But I also appreciate a lasting effect to something. If I could take a pill when I have a backache and the pain go away, but 5 minutes later it's there, I don't like to have to take that pill every 5 minutes. But if I can take that pill and the pain go away, and then there's also a lasting effect with that for 6 hours and I don't have that pain anymore, well, that's just wonderful to me. That's how justification works. The immediate effect is, instantly, you are at peace with God where you were at war. Well, then there's a continuing effect of your justification, and that is, day in, day out, His mercies are renewed every morning. You are allowed to enter. Paul says it this way, where we stand. You are allowed to stand inside the realm of God's grace, where otherwise you were not. By faith, we have access into this gracious relationship. Having been allowed to enter, here we stand today. Well, that's cause for rejoicing. And that's what Paul says here in verse number 2. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is our hope. It is the ultimate effect of justification. What? What is the ultimate effect of justification? Glorification. Glorified bodies, no longer donning this carnal flesh, but our soul who has been redeemed, being glorified. Man was originally created to reflect God's glory. We were made in His very own image through Jesus. This is again now realized in believers. Since the fall of man, we do not reflect God's glory, but through Jesus' work on the cross, we again reflect it. Believers do. Peace is what we have. Grace is where we stand. And glory is our future hope. In peace, we look back to the enmity that is now over. In grace, we look up to our reconciled Father in whose favor we now stand. And in hope, we look onward to our eternal state of glorification. That is what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 5. But then he takes us on over to verse 3, 4, and 5. And we get peace, but it's a little more realistic than everything I painted for you here this morning. In fact, it's peace that really doesn't seem like it. Paul's lead-in is great. Justification resulting in peace, access, grace, and hope. But just when we're basking in the glory of it all, there comes more. Notice verse 3. And not only so. Now, were you selling me something this morning, and you told me all of this good stuff about it, like we just heard in verse 1 and verse number 2, to the point of I'm thinking, I want this, I'm glad I have this. And then you said to me, and not only so, then I'm thinking, could it get any better? You know, you're selling me a car, and you're telling me that it has air conditioning and a CD. That doesn't matter anymore, does it? It can sync with my iPhone. That's the CD player of today, isn't it? And the windows are powered, and it has a sunroof, and it has alloyed wheels, and it has leather interior, and on and on and on. All the features go. And then you get me sold, and then you say, and not only so, well, I'm thinking to myself, this thing must hover. You know, you told me all of these great features. What more could there be? Well, Paul does this. He says, we've justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have access to grace, and that's where we stand, and we can rejoice in the hope of our future glorification. And not only so, man, is there more? Well, not really. It is peace, but it's peace that right now doesn't necessarily seem like it. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What? I don't like Paul so much now. I was liking him pretty good in verse 1 and 2, but now that he's saying tribulation, I don't know if I like that so much. That's kind of like when the car salesman gets to the price. It has this and that and that, and it only cost your small investment of, but we glory in tribulations. How? We glory in tribulations also knowing the tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. After justification, we might expect smooth sailing. But Paul is quick to remind us of suffering as well. Not so much suffering as we would think of sickness or pain or sorrow or grief. More so pressure from a godless and hostile world. That kind of tribulation. It is still peace from God, but it will not always seem like it. How can we ever glory in suffering? How can we ever glory in tribulation? How can we ever glory in pressure from a hostile and godless world? Because we learn that pressure teaches us patience. And in this patience, we gain life experience. And what do these experiences do for us? They build character, which affirms our hope. That's exactly what Paul's saying here. It's sort of the way that your immune system works. Just as antibodies that you need to live are produced through your immune system fighting disease. So this morning when my baby gets here, my wife's not letting anybody hold him. You know, he's a baby. He's only 3 weeks old. He doesn't need everything you've got. I'm the opposite. I'm like, here, hold this baby. He needs it. Breathe in his face. Cough all over him. Build him up. That's the difference between a mom and a dad, right? Well, just as your body needs to encounter things to build up your immunity to fight disease, we gain hope and eternal glorification through the process called sanctification. I'm justified. I am being sanctified to one day be glorified. As pressure comes in life, we patiently endure, which produces mature Christian character. And then we see ourselves grow, and in that we realize our expected end. Verse 5 then takes us one more step and presents the answer to the question that so many battle, because you could tell human beings these things in verse number 1 through 4 until they're blue in the face, but then we still go home with our doubts. Well, what does he say? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm willing to step out in faith and approach such a life of being justified by faith, a life of an eternal hope of glorification. But how can I know that this hope in God will not end in vain? You ever had that? What if all this is made up? I battled that as a teenager. What if my parents are just fooled? What if the preacher's just fooled? What if all this is just a scheme? What if it's not real? I come to know it is real one day, though, because a guy moved into my house. Not my physical house, my spiritual house. And his name was Holy Spirit. And when he moved in, it shored things up for me. Hope maketh not ashamed. God's hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God's love has filled us through the Holy Spirit. What a full text. And it all begins with a therefore. And the therefore leads us back to who? Jesus. All because God gave His Son. Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we now have peace. That's God's gift to the world. Let's stand and pray together. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have a time of prayer this morning. If you're here today and you've never experienced this peace, well, Christmas time is the best time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted hour. Come this morning and let me show you in God's Word how to begin a relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you are saved, well, you have all of this. You have access. You have access to this grace and where we stand because you have been justified by faith. You say, yeah, but I'm facing tribulation. Rejoice in it. It's not easy. I know it's not. I may not know what you're going through, but I've been through stuff too. And I know that when we get in those times, those are the hardest times to pray. Those are the hardest times to go to church. Those are the hardest times to read our Bible because we're hurt. And a lot of times we're hurt at God. Trust Him. What He's putting you through right now is working your patience, which is going to give you experience, which is going to build Christian character, which in the end is going to reaffirm the hope that you first started with. Do you remember how you were when you first got saved? God's going to reaffirm that again in your life at a future date. And you'll realize that not only were you justified, not only are you being sanctified, but because of the sanctification or the suffering, you're going to be glorified someday. That's our prayer today. Let's all pray together.